Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. It's a privilege to be able to be up here and to share with you all. I had to think while I was getting ready. You know, on Sunday morning, we always remember to pray for the pastors, the ministers, whoever's going to bring the message. But it's also good to remember to pray for them during the week when they're preparing and stuff, because that's the hardest part of getting a devotional together, is finding out what I'm going to talk about and preparing that. So what I want to talk about this morning, I've got all my stuff written down, different references, so I got a whole bunch of references I might jump through kind of fast. I'll give the reference, but you probably won't be able to look it up and find it as fast as I'll read it. So after Phil Lowell asked me to have devotions, I was having my devotions and just thinking, you know, what am I going to talk about? And I was reading in Ephesians and came across the verse where it says, it's talking about the armor of God. And the one, Ephesians 6:14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And I kind of stopped and thought, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, that's the one that jumped out to me. The other ones are easier to understand. You know, truth, preparation of the gospel, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. But I kind of thought, you know, what is righteousness? What is that referring to? And, you know, it's the breastplate. That's kind of for a soldier who's fighting in battle, that's his last line of defense. First, he's going to try to block it with his shield, or maybe deflect the blow with his sword or something, or dodge it. But if it hits your chest, if it hits you, your breastplate, your body armor, be able to withstand that? So righteousness, a topic I hadn't really thought about before or looked into much. We don't talk about it super much. Kind of almost maybe say a little bit pessimistically, oh, that guy, he's overly righteous or something. I had to think, you know, how do I put it on? How do I live in that? So kind of for a definition of righteousness, a righteous person would be someone who's living his life according to God's standards and morals, and also and to be righteous is sort of like maybe being blameless before God. You're living your life as he wants you to. And for another verse I have is Philippians 3:9. It says, and to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. We need to have, you know, we can't make up our own righteousness. We got to go to God's word. We can't listen to what others are saying or figure, oh, I'm righteous because this other guy over here, I'm maybe a little better than him. We got to go back to his word and have God's righteousness, not be found having mine own. And Romans 10:3, this one's referring to, I believe, some of the Jews at the time who were still trying to be saved through the works of the law. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So we need to submit to God's power, to his righteousness. God is all-powerful. He's supreme. You know, what he says, his word, that's what counts. We can't go against that. And there are maybe two different ways that a person can be righteous or become righteous. And the first would be to live a life that perfectly fulfills all the things in the Bible, everything, all the commandments of God, have a perfect heart, and never sin. You know, that would be, I would say, if you could do that, you'd be a righteous person. But I can't do that. That's not attainable by me. And I don't think anyone can. That's impossible. So that one is sort of out of the question. But the good news is somebody did do that. Someone came, lived a perfect life, was blameless. And that person, he says, you know, I'll take your sins and I'll put them on my account. And then when God looks at you, you will be viewed as forgiven and righteous. And we all know who that was. That someone was Jesus, and he came and died for us. So, and that leads us to the second way of being righteous, and that is to admit our faults and have faith in Jesus and receive his forgiveness and righteousness. So, over and over, as I was looking up verses that had righteousness in them, it would say righteousness by faith, and that, it's not something we can really do ourselves. We put our faith in Jesus. First John 1:8, for if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So here it points that out, that we need to recognize our faults and confess them to Jesus, to God. And Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. There it says the gift of righteousness. You know, it's something that by trusting in Jesus, it's given to us. And as I was studying this originally, I thought, you know, armor of God, breastplate of righteousness, this is going to be something more down that line. But it seems over and over, just I'm talking about salvation, almost the same. So many of the same themes and topics. Because it's something that we receive. And because of that, because it's a gift, because it's free, we need to be very thankful to God for Jesus has done. And that was something I've been challenged with a while ago, was to be more thankful every day for the things I have and for what Jesus has done for me. Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So giving thanks. Also, you know, even though righteousness, and when God's looking down at us and sees us as righteous, is something we're given, I think we need to also live a righteous life and live it out, because we have so many different commands and stuff of how God wants us to live, things we should do. And in Philippians 1:11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Our lives are here, we're here to praise God and to honor him. And by living a pure, a righteous, holy life, we can do that. And it's a witness to others, and it testifies that God is our Lord. And, you know, I think God wants to bless us when we do that. And he views us as his children. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we prioritize and put God's kingdom first, his righteousness, his ways, his will for our lives, put that first. And then it says, all these things shall be added unto you. It's referring to your daily needs, what you're going to eat, drink, wear. In Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. One of the Beatitudes. And in Proverbs 10:2 and 3, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. So kind of coming back around full circle to righteousness being, you know, part of the armor, it protects us. I tried to think of some ways that, you know, by being living a righteous life and stuff, that we could be protected. And one thing I thought of is, you know, Satan sometimes comes at us and he'll try to make someone feel guilty or bad or something and say, oh, you're not, you did such and such. How can you think you're a Christian? How can you think you're right with God? But, you know, your answer can be, you know, I am right with God because I trust in Jesus' righteousness, not my own. I'm forgiven for that. And you know, your trust is in Jesus. So another, you know, two of my favorite people, characters of the Bible, probably my two favorite characters are Daniel and Joseph in the Old Testament. And Daniel's life, I had to think, in 6:4, when Daniel 6:4, when these, all the princes and the higher ups in the kingdom were all coming trying to pull Daniel down, they said, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not, they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. So by living a upright life, faithful, it says he was, and righteous, we can, you know, the world's going to look at us and they won't be able to say a whole lot of bad things about us, and they won't be able to tear us down that way. And just in conclusion, remember the big picture, the final reward that we'll get. Second Timothy 4:8, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also love his appearing. So that was all I had. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today, God, and I thank you for all that you've done for us and given to us. Especially thank you, Lord, for your Son and the free gift of salvation and righteousness that we can have through him. I pray that we could all serve you with our lives every day and keep you first. Also, I pray for Grandpa as he brings the message. Just be with him. Bless him, give him peace, and also for each one of us here. And I pray this all in your name. Amen.